Kevin? I think this morning, excuse me, I think my voice is breaking. Shucks, I was just going to go in the musicians as well, and now I'll have to come out there. I wouldn't say this morning so much as about a preach, and in fact, probably Eric has summed up what I'm going to say in the introduction. So I'm just going to say amen and let's get on and baptise them. But no, it's not going to be as easy as that, I'm afraid. No. Because I think it is good to remind ourselves what today is about. I get really excited every Sunday, but I get more so with baptism because I think it is just such a visual of what Jesus has done for us and a reminder to us all of what Jesus has done for us. But also, God loves it. God just loves it when his sons and daughters are obedient to him. And I believe that you four, Richard, Rachel, Sarah, okay, Sarah's got nerves, but she's okay. She's got Joshua. And Katia, I believe God will bless you today through your obedience to him. Now, I know some of you are nervous. That's not a word of knowledge, because I remember I was at mine. So I wanted to put your nerves at rest. And Before me and Rob put their thing back, we've taken a photo just to show you how nice and warm it is. Now, Scott did have to clear a bit of ice, but it's not as bad as it quite looks. Okay. So, and to put your minds at rest, we've done this many times before, okay? And we are quite slick at it, as this last photo from our last baptism will show you. So I'm glad I've just calmed any nerves that might be there now. And you'll be fine. That person is still with us. And their still hands are like that. Okay. So, okay. But like I've said, baptism is a great opportunity to remind ourselves what adult baptism is about. Even as believers, it's good to remind us. And just to say, this isn't some modern day fad that's come over in the last few years. Oh, you know, it's to replace the sprinkling when we were babies. That's not what it's about. As we will see, this is something that Jesus set the example for. And if this morning you don't have a relationship with Jesus, it's an opportunity to see a visual demonstration of the living relationship that Jesus desires with every single person on this planet. So, firstly, for Richard, for Rachel, for Sarah, for Katia, why are they doing what they're doing? Well, they're following the example that Jesus set us. If you have a Bible, you might like to turn to this verse in Matthew 3:13-17. Now, I'm going to go through quite a few snippet verses this morning. And if you've been a believer a number of years, they may not be new to you. I hope they aren't. But I think it's good to feed and remind ourselves of the sort of relationship that we're in with Jesus. So if you haven't, I haven't put the words up this morning. I'm just going to read them. So if you haven't got a Bible, then just close your eyes and listen to what Matthew 3:13-17 says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' Jesus replied, 'Let it be so. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son who I love. With him I am well pleased.'" And you know, for you four this morning, there is significance when you go in that water. And when you come out, though I'll explain later, it is ordinary water. There is something spiritual happens because the Father is well pleased with you this morning. And you will know the touch of the Father you will know the touch of the Father. So why did Jesus ask to be baptized? John obviously didn't feel that he needed to be. And actually, he didn't. Because he didn't need to give a visual demonstration of his repentance of sin. Because, as we know, Jesus, though being human, never sinned. The key was in that verse 15, when Jesus replied, to fulfill all righteousness. And he means by this, to accomplish God's mission. Jesus saw his baptism as advancing God's work. But he also was showing support to John, who was baptizing many at that time. And he was also identifying with those who repent of their sins and seek forgiveness from God. Jesus went on to establish baptism as an eternal degree for his church, calling every believer to follow in his footsteps. As it says in Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to come back to Matthew 28 in a little while. You know, if a wedding ring is an outward sign that a person is married, and a military uniform is an outward sign of someone who is in a particular branch of that service, then baptism is a symbol designed by God to identify a person as a disciple of Jesus Christ. However, I use the word symbol with caution. To say that it is just symbolic takes away from it the depth and beauty of water baptism. Baptism is a symbol, but it is so much more than that. When we are saved, we are spiritually baptized into Christ. Galatians 3:27 says, for all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Clothed with Christ. You know, you just have this impression of Jesus just coming up behind you and enveloping you with his presence. It's not a distant relationship that we're in with Jesus. It is that heartfelt closeness of him holding you. But it's also, we're spiritually baptized into his body, the church. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Now that is why you, each of you, members of Rudely Community, are so important. We keep on about this, but it is. It's so that you can not sit there and think, oh, I'm important. It makes you do to know that you're important. We cannot function without you. Baptism in water is an outward representation of these inward realities. Water, as a biblical symbol, represents inner cleansing. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. And it is spiritual rebirth. Jesus explained to Nicodemus in regards to the being born again. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and spirit. Now, this is Rugeley tap water under here. Okay, we say this every time, it is not special water. But what it represents and the significance of what you do makes baptism special. Because it is that cleansing. You're not being sprinkled. You've not been sprinkled when you come in to a relationship with Jesus and cleansing your sins. You have been immersed with Jesus. He is fully at work in your lives. And if he's not, he will be if you let him. But it's that cleansing. It's that spiritual cleansing of us completely. That's why we say, when we stand in grace, that we know the freedom of Christ. Because we've been washed of our sins completely. And no matter how bad you think you've been in your life and what you have done, there is nothing that God cannot cleanse you from. There's nothing that he can set you free from. So, in fact, what we're actually doing here this morning is a bit of a funeral. Anyhow, we've gone from a wedding, we've got the military, but actually it is a bit of a funeral. But it is a funeral that is so full of joy. It's an act of faith in which we testify both to God and to the world around us that the person before is dead and buried, and we are raised as a new creation. There? That's you before. That's you being buried, and then that's us in new life. And it's beautifully illustrated in these two verses. Romans 6:4 says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Jesus had to die to rise again. But it's that death that we go through with him, that when we give ourselves completely, when we ask for those forgiveness of sins, when we just say sorry for the life that we've led, that we die with him. But it doesn't stay there. So we will bring you back up. Okay. Because, as Colossians 2 says, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. That is the power of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives today, in your lives today. It's the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Baptism is a command of Jesus. It's required of every believer, as James says in Matthew 28. No, he doesn't. Yes, he does. 18 to 20, the verse that we touched on a little bit earlier. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, maybe if you want to, perhaps if you would like to, no. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age." I just think about that for a moment. Jesus' very call to believe in him requires and includes us to be baptized. And if Jesus puts that much importance on baptism, then I must think he's got something very important that he's saying to us, and something very important will happen to us in being obedient in taking that step. And you know, he's not asking us to do anything that he hasn't done himself. We're not told by Jesus, we are led by Jesus. We are called followers of Jesus. And everything that he asks us to follow him in, he has done for us. And we don't read of any unbaptized Christians anywhere in the Bible, in the New Testament. In fact, baptism immediately follows a person's salvation. They didn't see it as something to be delayed or put off. When the people responded to Peter's sermon in Acts on the day of Pentecost, the first thing he instructs them is, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And what was their response? Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Think how many towels that was. If you sold towels on that day, you retired after that day of Pentecost. And we also see, though, it was the very first thing that Paul is told to do after his conversion. As Paul recounts, he stood, that's Ananias, stood before me and said, "Brother Saul," that's Paul's name, "receive your sight." And at that very moment, I was able to see him. Then he said, "The God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name." I just want to make something clear in what Richard, Rachel, Sarah, and Katia are doing this morning. And that's this. In getting baptized, they are taking a step and an act of obedience. This is not a requirement for their salvation. If it were part of our salvation, then it means that we would be saved by works and faith. And we're not. We're saved quite clearly by faith alone. As Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." Like many before them, Richard, Rachel, Sarah, and Katia are responding in simple faith, obeying God by being baptized, and also bearing in mind that the fact that faith without works is dead. So this is an outworking of their obedience and faith this morning. As James 2:17 says, "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." A living faith produces an obedient heart. And water baptism for these guys today is an act of faith and obedience. Baptism is a very special way of God communicating his love to us. When we receive God's saving grace, it is no accident that he called us to identify with him in a way that makes it real to us. And that's what makes baptism so special. As you go through that visual demonstration, it brings to you the realness of the relationship that you have and the depth of relationship you have with Jesus. So my question maybe to some of us today is, are you struggling with guilt over your past? Maybe it's because you haven't given the person you once were a proper burial. Water baptism is a powerful reminder of God's wonderful grace. The person we were before is dead, hence why you're going down, and we are raised with Jesus as a totally new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So as you say, we've got absolutely nothing to lose by being baptized, and everything to gain by following Jesus. And ultimately, if we have hearts that are after Jesus, then we will follow what he says to us. "If you love me, you will obey what I command." And Jesus commands us that we get baptized. For Richard, for Rachel, for Sarah, and for Katia, baptism is a simple but profound act of obedience that they will carry for the rest of their lives. I, and I'm sure many of you, remember the day when you were baptized. It is a significant day. Now, there may be believers amongst us that haven't taken that step. Well, can I strongly encourage you to seriously think about taking that step of adult baptism, of obeying Jesus for that. And of course, we can't get baptized if we don't embrace the reality of what it represents, a living relationship with Jesus. Otherwise, it's just simply getting wet in a pool, in a hole, in a floor. If you've not given your heart, if you've not given your life to Jesus, can I encourage you to talk to who you came with this morning, or talk to one of us after? Because your life will be so much different. You will come into the fullness of why we were created. And there is no condemnation in Christ. We've all been sinners. We've all been there in our past. But I'm thankful that I have Jesus in my life now. I'm thankful that I have a living relationship. Then finally, it's just one more thing I want to say, and it's something we want to introduce new. I haven't spoken with Eric about this yet, but I just wanted to surprise him as well with this, because it's something that I've picked up from First Church. I don't know where they are, but I just think it's a personal touch that we should bring in. And I'm sure Richard would be very keen for us to involve this. Because you will hand over your wallet, because you won't want that getting wet when you're going in. But so don't worry, we're not going to do that. I just wanted to. Okay. This is what we're going to do. And then I'm going to pray. In a minute, we're going to lift the lid. And everyone notices while we quietly do that. They quite know that's going to work. But anyway, that's what I do. And then Eric will lead the part of bringing each of these guys up, just speaking to them a moment. Then we will give opportunity for the family to bring what God has laid on their heart for them, because this is very significant. I believe God speaks strongly to those when we get baptized. Why? Because we are being obedient to Him. And just as the Father said to the Son, I am well pleased, so He is well pleased with you this morning. And there are things said at my baptism that I still hold to and are still working through. And some that I've seen come through. So we will do that. And then there will be a snippet of your chosen song. Okay. So I'm going to pray. Father, I just thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the way that not only, Lord, do you envelop us into you, Father, that we are spiritually born into you, Lord, that we are at one with you. But, Lord, that you led the way. Lord, it's easy to follow you, Jesus, because you've been there before. There's nothing you ask of us that you haven't done. And so it is with baptisms this morning, Father. Lord, you have led the way for Richard, for Rachel, for Sarah, for Katia, in that you demonstrated what that visual living relationship is like with your Father, who is our Father. And Lord, I want to release now, I want to release the blessing and favour upon these four, Lord. Lord, I pray as they go down into Rugeley Water and come up, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will descend on them. I ask for release for them. I ask for healing for them. I ask for the words of knowledge, words and prophetic words for them to speak to their hearts. Lord, as we have sought you this week, as people seek you now, Lord, will you speak your heart into each of these lives? Confirmation, encouragement, Lord, plans and purposes that you have. Lord, I want that released into their lives now. So, Father, we ask you, as we go through this, Lord, it is symbolic, but it's so much more than that, Lord. There is a spiritual significance about what we're doing. So, Lord, we want to celebrate that with them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay.